Hi, my name is Chris Webster. I'm the Children's Youth and Student Worker at Grace Church Broccoli. We'll be reading from Proverbs chapter 5, so that's all of it, so verses 1 to 23. So, Proverbs chapter 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. The lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to the death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of her life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honour to others and your dignity to one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors. And I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone. Never be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For the lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. As we come to hear God's word, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts, minds and ears that are open to listen to it. And Father, if we come to hear it now and we're feeling a bit disturbed, may your gospel actually comfort us. But Father, if we are maybe comfortable in ourselves, maybe today your word would disturb us so that we would reach out for your gospel, for the hope in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, if you have children, I wonder, what is your experience of homeschooling been like in lockdown? Well, one word to describe it for us is trying. In June, I was in one of the few shops that was open, and I found something that would solve all our homeschooling problems. On the box, it said that through interaction with our product, your child will learn. It will better enhance the child's intelligence, and it could be used as an aid when studying. Wow, I'm sure we're wondering or even keen to have one of these products ourselves, so that it will maximise our child's potential in life. Well, here it is, the product that promises to give your child success in life. Here's the box, and here is the product. This is what it is. I'll stop it there. Now, it's a delightful toy, but do we really believe in the promises that are made on the box? Well, no, of course not, of course not. It'd be ridiculous to do so. Well, what we're going to be looking at this time is the false promises made by adultery and how they don't lead to a lease of life, but actually to death. And this is the wise warnings we're looking at of Proverbs that give us. They're warnings that need to be heard, because when it comes to adultery or sexual lusts, that is when we are all at our most stupid. You see, we're all easily fooled. That is why we need to listen to Proverbs 5 to make the right choice. Now, the most important lesson that we learn of wisdom from Proverbs that we can find actually in the very first chapter. So that is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Now understand, the fear of the Lord isn't like a cringing terror that forces you to cower in the corner. No, understand that fear is not a wrong emotion. You can have a healthy fear of the sea, but that doesn't mean that you're kind of left afraid to get in and have a swim. You see, as you have awe and respect for God, this fear protects you from making a mess of your life. You don't want to fool around with sin, especially adultery, as you fear the disapproval of God, our Father. That leads you to then live wisely in God's world. So first, this is what I want us to see from God's word. Avoid adultery as it leads to your death. Verses 1 to 14. Avoid adultery as it leads to your death. Now it's time for one of those dad chats we see in verse 1. Look at me, it says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom." Now maybe for you, you might take your son for a bike ride or a trip out somewhere for this talk. It's almost like King Solomon, that's the writer of Proverbs, saying, "Son, you see that there are women out there that will stir your urges, but you have to watch out. You see, there'll be a girl, she'll look like a stunner. She'll excite you by what she says, leaving your eyes wide open, wanting more. And her name is Madame Folly, but her ways are deadly." Well, this can sound also sexist, can't it? Oh yeah, of course, it's the women's who get men into trouble, isn't it? But actually, the Bible says that men are just as guilty of leading others to adultery as well. So Solomon contrasts Madame Folly with a very positive image of another woman and what she can do. And Solomon urges his son to fall for her, and her name is Lady Wisdom. Now, both of these characters appear a lot through Proverbs chapters 1 to 9. They don't necessarily just deal with adultery, but actually our own spiritual lives in how we relate to God. Now, these two women represent two ways then. In how you are to live. That is, you either please our own desires, which in the end is folly, or you please God, which is wisdom. Now Solomon's son has a choice to make. Which woman to embrace? Well, it sounds obvious, doesn't it? But so often we think we know best, but we don't. The voice of Madame Folly is so alluring. We think, actually it's difficult to resist. I mean, look with me in verse 3. It says, "For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and their speech is smoother than oil." See, all of us here are actually vulnerable to the adulterer's voice. That is either his or her charm. What she says, oh, makes me feel like a teenager again in love. Or when we talk, he's so caring, he seems to know me so well, unlike my husband. See, before the actual act of sex, there's a lot of steps that are taken. And what we see here is that words do most of the work when committing adultery. I mean, look again at verse 3. "For the lips of the adulteress, and her speech is smoother than oil." See, when we're overwhelmed with lust and passions, there is no thought to consequences. We're easily deceived, and the true nature of Madame or Monsieur Folly's voice, we're easily deceived by it. So what are we to do? The only way to detect the adulterer's voice is to listen to Lady Wisdom. And what we've heard so far of wisdom in this summer series is that we are to search for it like hidden treasure in chapter 2. But to see the beauty of wisdom, to entice us to go and get it, we see in chapter 3. Now what we see here in our chapter, chapter 5, is seen as warnings. And I have to say that they're not pleasant to listen to. See, the adulterer's promises, well, they lead or they say that they give such a good life, appealing to the appetite of the flesh. But see how this honey tastes in verse 4. What is it? Well, it's bitter. And those smooth words that seem to make you melt, what does it say in verse 4? They're like a double-edged sword. They're lethal lies that leave you wounded. At first glance, they look amazing. Oh, drop-dead gorgeous. But see where it leads in verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. They promise so much, but they only deliver death and ruin. So wisdom. She's going to give us some warning signs, and we're going to ignore them at our peril if we do. Verse 8, she says, do not even go near the door of her house. It's a bit like those disgusting kind of pictures you see on the front of cigarette packs. You know what? I'd actually love to smoke if it wasn't, though, for those photos. It's what they show is the horrors of what would happen if we would open up and smoke what we find inside. Well, let's open up the door of the adulterer and see the horrors that we find if we commit adultery. Verse 9, it says this, you lose your honour to others and your dignity. Then verse 10, it says, strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. You see, many gain as a result of sexual foolishness, except you, reducing a guilty person to poverty. There's many stats, aren't there, about divorce, and on average, it's about £15,000 for divorce, and that's just the legal fees, none of the other costs. And so all in all, I think it says that it's £4 billion, okay, nationally, is spent on divorce. That's huge. Well, let's carry on. What are the other consequences in verse 11? You will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You'll say, how I hated discipline. There is deep regret and sorrow here as a result of a brief moment of pleasure. As a result, you know, actually you've been played as a fool. Let's carry on in verse 14. I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. Now you're in disgrace. You're left alone in old age, carrying the scars of a broken relationship. So there is a high price to pay with such tragic results. Financial hurt, regret, shame and loneliness. Maybe you know someone, or maybe you know personally what damage can be done by adultery. It may be fun at the time, but we can see the bitter honey that sexual chaos has caused. I have to say, it's difficult to speak about this product without mentioning pornography. It's far too easy to click on things that we shouldn't be looking at. It's a massive problem, and I'm sure in our churches as well. And it's not just a male problem either. Pornography takes God's good gift of sex and twists it away from reality, replacing good bodies, real bodies, with fake plastic bodies that train us to actually desire falseness, making, well, sex cheap, a product existing purely for our pleasure, toys to be used for our own desires, and then just discarded when no longer needed or wanted. Now, if you're tempted in this area, or even trapped, I want to urge you, please, tell someone you trust at church. Ask for help. I have people who keep me accountable as I struggle with this as well. So please, please don't be naive thinking, oh, I can do this with myself, I can deal with it on my own. No, instead tell someone and you'll be glad when you do. Now, if you're a parent, please, please, for the sake of your children, put on parent controls on your home internet or on phones. On your children's phone, or even maybe on your own phone, lock certain apps. It's for their good to keep them safe and away from the path that leads to the grave. Now in the church, it might appear that everyone is sorted, that all the marriages, well, they're wonderful, that no one will ever fall into adultery, but that is not the case. Like it or not, actually we're all vulnerable to the adulterer, as our wisdom is not enough. We need God's wisdom to keep us from temptation. So listen to the warnings of Lady Wisdom. We see one in verse 7. It says, "Listen to me, do not turn aside from what I say." That is, the only way that you'll avoid adulterous tricks is to listen to the wisdom's voice. And the warnings, it is basically, don't even go near the door of her house. You see, when you're there, facing temptation in the face, well, you're not going to make the right decision. So don't even go there. You can't handle it. So for you, where is that door? When you go travelling? Maybe time alone at home with the internet. Working late in the office. Maybe Friday out, night out with work colleagues. Well, listen to the words of wisdom so that you can avoid the words of an adulterer, which leads to your death. Second thing I want us to see from God's word is avoid adultery by delighting in your spouse, that's your husband or wife, in verses 15 to 23. Avoid adultery by delighting in your spouse. Now, we live in times where sex is to can be considered as a necessity for anyone who wants to live a happy and healthy life. A poll on The Guardian Online said, "Do we equate happiness in life with as many orgasms packed in as possible? Do you agree?" And the response was 73% said yes. You could say, oh, typical Guardian readers. Well, I have to say, all of this has left us as a culture worshipping and following and adoring sex at all costs. It tells us that our value is based on how sexually desirable we are. When boundaries are placed on sex by the Bible, such as the exclusivity or the exclusive nature of marriage, then it's seen as inhumane, restricting our sexual freedom. So why should we listen to the words of the Bible? Well, because God made the universe. It all comes from His hands. God invented sex. He knows more about sex than you and I do. God knows dangerous sex, and He knows safe sex. And we see that in His word that is here in Proverbs 5. God has made us to have safe sex. And that is inside marriage. But outside is dangerous and destructive. The boundaries of marriage are given for our good. See, marriage is about giving, whereas adultery is about taking. So Solomon here, he uses poetic language for a wife as life-giving water. That's a life-giving water source in verse 15. He says, "Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well." See, we shouldn't waste our sexual desires on a stranger. In verse 16, it says, "Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares." So as sex then is described as a precious life-giving water, we're to pour them into one stream. Verse 17, "Let them be yours alone. Never be shared with strangers." Solomon says here that the best way to avoid adultery is to make your husband or wife the delight of your eyes. Verse 18, "May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love." Wow, that is strong stuff. But that is how potent sex is. It's intoxicating. You see, sex is fun, it's good, it's pleasurable, enjoyable, and delightful. That is the way God has made it. God didn't make sex like something you'd see on a David Attenborough program, you know, nature program, where it's quick, mechanical process. Sex inside marriage is to be fun and frequent. So we're to see that the exclusive nature of relationship is to be shared with no one else, is to be permanent. See that in verse 19. It says, "May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love." See, when things are less than ideal, we aren't to go elsewhere. Sex acts as a glue. It kind of binds us together for the rest of our lives together. All this talk of sex can be hard for those who are single. Many Christians can act as if marriage is the fullness of life possible, can't they? And sex is good, but sex isn't everything. The great truth is that this is all just a picture of something much, much better. See, earthly marriage will not exist in heaven. There is to be only one marriage in heaven. That is between Christ and his bride. That is his church. That is you and me if we are Christian. See, marriage is like a toy car. I've got one here. It's like this, okay? It's quite good, but it's only a little model, isn't it? It's a toy car. And that is in comparison with the real thing. That is relationship with Jesus. So you might feel that you're missing out on marriage. A bit like a toy car, let's say. That is all it is. Because you're not missing out on the real thing if you're a Christian. That is the full and satisfying and forever relationship with Jesus. See, all of us, whether single or married, need to keep reminding ourselves of this great truth. Marriage is, well, it's only a toy car, which points to something much bigger and better. You see, we are to delight in our relationship with the great husband, that is Jesus Christ. So having seen all the delight that sex brings in marriage, why go for utter ruin? Solomon says in verse 20. Look at me, he says, why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? And that is complete folly, he says. And we know it, because where does adultery take place? Well, it's normally in the dark, isn't it? In secret. Someone else does see it. Look who it is in verse 21. For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. You see, God sees it all. Ultimately, in adultery, it's God who is being rejected, and we won't get away with it. If we haven't got it already, we see the consequences again of adultery in verse 22. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of the sin hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. It's like a trap that lies in wait for a wild bear. This is what lies in wait for anyone who ignores God's laws or rules on sex. And it isn't hard to imagine the cords that kind of lead to a ruined life, isn't it? Of adultery. You know, one affair in the office and the husband or wife leaves them. Then you stop attending church and the love for God soon dries up. Children then don't respect you, and the wife and the man you fell for actually is no longer interested in you. Everything is lost in a few moments of pleasure. This is what Solomon says is great folly. To avoid adultery, I'll then delight in your spouse, your husband, or your wife. All of us have been down the path that leads to sexual sin, crippling the way that we think about sex. But here is the glorious truth that we have been washed clean by the death of Jesus on the cross. Apostle Paul, he writes this to a church in Ephesus, describing Jesus Christ as a husband. And see what he does for his bride in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25-27. Listen, this is what he says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. See, all that sexual sin has left us unclean. But Jesus has washed us when we believe in the gospel, that is when he says the word. As J. John, the evangelist, says, Jesus' marriage proposal was nailed to the cross. That is that Jesus gave himself up for us on the cross so that we can now be with him, like he's like our husband and we are the bride. Now we're presented without stain and are blameless. Now it's not that then God doesn't know all the mess deep down in our lives, but because of Jesus' death, we are now treated as holy, And that is because Jesus is holy. So Jesus, he does forgive us, but the consequences don't necessarily go away. If you've been affected by the sin of adultery, you'll need to work it through. So please, please talk to someone at church about it. Now, if you find yourself walking on the path for adultery, and tomorrow is just one more day further down that path, I want to ask you, are you in an adulterous relationship? If you are, end that relationship now. You see, it's the fear of the Lord that will help you to do this. Make today the day that you do something about it. Send that text to someone you trust in church, saying, please help me, I need to talk. There is a way back. And that is clear repentance, bringing it out into the open. It will be painful. It will be difficult. But Jesus offers forgiveness and changes us by the grace of God to give us a new life. So, I'll end our time now in prayer. Heavenly Father, please help us to see the false promises that adultery and lust makes, and the beautiful truth that we find in Jesus. Help us to see the trap we're stepping into, and that this path leads to the grave. Please, will your Holy Spirit help us to change and have the power to say no to temptation. Help us not to go near those places that make us stumble again and again. Help us to forsake all others and have a heart devoted to you. Amen.